Hello there, it's late.
Yes, Lex. Oh, yeah. And me, Stacy.
We'll just stop so we can start this over. Thank you. Okay. Hey, it's Lex and Stacy. It is Threesome Podcast number 47. Look yes. at us getting up there. And today we're going to have a little fun with something before we get into the meat of the matter. Stacy has a situation with a pasture that we got to get into. But first off, on the show, Stacy, a couple days ago, we found this thing that was a lot of fun, and we're still having fun with it. The heavy metal band name generator. And you're gonna love this. We went through some names and everything, and everybody had some, you know, pretty standard stuff like you know, Necrodoom and Uber Zombie and stuff like that. And then you're gonna love this. We got the Terrys.
Ah.
Dick God.
That thing is scary accurate.
Everybody loved it so much. We actually are doing a T-shirt on Teespring, and I bought one. It's like the greatest name of a heavy metal band ever. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe nobody's thought of that.
In 6 months, you need to do a Google search and see how many local bands have sprung up named Dick God.
I know. Yeah, I'm sure we started it. There are some other good ones, for sure. But that was by far my favorite. So I'll tell you what. I'm gonna get the generator out. I'm gonna give you 5 band names you can choose from. Okay. And they just come up random. So we'll just go ahead and do this. Your first choice, Abnormal Masters.
Okay.
Your second choice, Sword Sucker.
That's a high favorite.
Is that the leader in the clubhouse?
So far.
Okay. Your third choice, Iron Bitch. Yeah.
Too obvious.
Well, yeah, but that's the fun part.
Yes.
Number 4 is Bell's Chain. Yeah. And your last choice, Johann Sebastian Taxman.
What?
Yeah.
I like Sword Sucker.
Sword Sucker it is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's
fuck yeah, man.
Let's see what I get to choose from here. This is for the Threesome Podcast. These will be our metal names. You're Sword Sucker. Here's Enormous Tax Men. Yeah. Blah. Ugly Shot.
That could be good.
Yeah. Mighty Nightmare.
Do, 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 do.
Yep. Johann Sebastian Dick.
That actually is awesome.
It is. And Profane Horror. So I will go with Johann Sebastian Dick.
Dick.
Yeah.
That's great.
Other in the runnings are Ninja Tombstone, Sulfuric Finger, Disgusting Goat, Dream of the Suns, and
Dream of the Sun, Dream of the Sun.
Night Abortion.
Yeah. Oh, we're getting Guar type masks on yeah. and stuff. Yeah.
Night
little fetus
abortion.
Masks.
Love that. So we had fun with that. So there you go, Sword Sucker.
Yeah.
All right.
Johann.
So, Dick. So this piece of subject matter we're about to get into, you've been wanting to talk about this for a couple of episodes, and we haven't got to it. So, fill me in.
Well, first of all, it breaks my heart that this took place in Michigan, but it did. And
lots of things take place in Michigan.
Michigan's a lovely place. It's a pastor. a Lutheran pastor, from what it sounds like, and he has been fairly outspoken anti-gay. You know, that the gay lifestyle is a bad thing, and the devil's work, and you're all going to go to hell. Well, because the Lord spoke to him, as the Lord does all men of the cloth.
What does the Lord say to him, Ben? So these two fags walk into a bar. Well, I mean, what exactly takes place here?
Well, the guy is married. He's a pastor. He's married. He has 5 kids, okay? Mm-hmm. And apparently when he is not busy tending to his flock or his wife or his children, he has a Grindr profile and has been cruising for dudes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was about to say, before you even got to that, how many little boys has this guy done?
It's not little boys. It is, you know, adult consensual man sex.
Okay. Sorry.
But
I bet he's jerked off to little boys.
Just because you're gay does not mean you're attracted to children. Just saying. But I understand what you're saying.
Doesn't mean you're not either.
Very true. Very, very true. His profile states, quote, "I love making out naked, oral and massage, and I top. I also love to cuddle."
Oh, God.
Which is funny because from my knowledge of tops, I didn't realize tops were the cuddlers.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you think about it, the bottom has nothing to cuddle.
Well, but you, in your relationship
or something,
in your heterosexual relationship with Lisa, who is the alpha of the two of you in your relationship?
Definitely me.
Well, there you go. Do you ever look at her as the alpha, as the top, and say, "I would like to cuddle now. Hold me."
I don't say it. There's times after I banger where I'm like, come here, you.
But are you doing it for her or for you?
Do it for me.
Well, that's really sweet, Lex, and unexpected.
Well, I mean, she's fucking hot. Why wouldn't I want to grab me some of that?
Well, you just did at the culmination of said banging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she's the one that's not much of a cuddler. You know, Lisa, if she wasn't so smoking hot, you know, everything else about her is kind of dude-like. She's not dramatic.
I was going to say, is she letting you think that you're the alpha?
No.
Is she that good of an alpha that lets you think you are?
I'm the sexual aggressor, because think about it. Think of her choices. She gets to have a guy 15 years older than her. You know, it's like, it's definitely going to be me that's, you know, going to be the sexual aggressor. You know, because what does she get out of it?
Totally off topic, but since you mentioned age.
My best years are clearly behind me.
Have your balls begun sagging yet? I'm curious.
Begun?
Are they?
They're like bungee cords. They're on their way back up.
Are you to the point where you have to wear long shorts because they might dangle below the hemline?
No, that's a myth. Not every guy is like that. I mean,
okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
You're honestly like the oldest guy I know that I could ask about his balls.
No, I mean, it all has to do with what you got stuck with to begin with. You know, it's like, because you, and this drives me crazy, at the gym, which I don't belong to anymore. There was this they have like these chairs where you can like watch ESPN or Fox News or whatever people decide to fucking watch after they've worked out. And these fucking dudes, they're like in their 60s and 70s, some of them 80s, sit in these fucking leather chairs with their junk hanging out. And watch these things. You know, it's like, I know it's a men's locker room and, you know, you're pretty much free to walk around like you want. But even I am still like going to shower and throw on at least a pair of shorts or something. You know, I'm not going to walk around with my junk in your face, you know, as you're trying to put your shoes on and go out and work out or whatever. But some of these guys do. And it's you see a wide array of different penis and ball situations where some of these guys look like they have a third fucking leg, you know, and it looks like there's like a string holding their junk onto their body, and then there's like this just glop of balls and dick hanging down.
Beanbag.
Where you're like, man, you poor bastard. That's got to be like uncomfortable. Where me...
No.
I'm not extremely gifted, so there wasn't a lot of weight hanging on there.
So you're still perky.
I still look pretty good, yeah.
Good, good. Now, is it, you know, with women, especially women with larger chests, you know, wearing the bra, the very supportive bra, does help somewhat later in life as to whether or not you have National Geographic tits or, you know, they're still manageable boobs.
Yeah.
Does underwear help a man with hang?
I would think it does, yes. I
never thought about that.
Yeah, especially with the advent of boxer briefs like 20 years ago, you can kind of have the best of both worlds.
Gotcha.
So, you know, it's I think that's what most guys wear. I mean, you go buy underwear somewhere, there's like 85 to 90% availability of those, and then you have your briefs and boxers in the corner for the hardcores that still want just that. So
I just purchased my sweetie actually we wanted to see what they were like, a pair of the Duluth Trading Company buck naked boxer briefs. They're pretty nice.
What are those? What's the deal with those?
They're the wicking. They help because he drives a lot.
Uh-huh.
So things sweat.
Yeah.
And hurt him. At the end of the day.
Sure.
And this is a wicking material, and it's very light. So even if there is any bunching, it's not nearly as bunched as usual.
Yeah. I wear like the Under Armour, which, you know, came out with the dry fit stuff about 12 years ago, 13 years ago. And, once I found that, I have never gravitated from it. It's the best.
Because you have these, do you not have to powder your balls, or do you still on occasion?
I still powder, please.
Or as we call them, flowering your nuts.
Yeah, flowering the nuts is a pleasure. I mean, it's just like you get out of the shower and, you know, it's still, even though you've just washed down there and everything, it's still sticky, you know.
Right.
So I use Lisa's hair dryer and air it out.
And then... I love you.
Yeah. Damn right.
I'm picturing this.
Yeah, I'm honest
about it.
You
put one leg up on the tub and just kind of.
I do.
Awesome.
I do. Yeah. And get it nice and aired out, you know, so there's no moisture or anything. And then I put my powder on. I'm like, like a baby down there.
Do you use medicated powder or just your basic baby powder?
I use actually cornstarch like you use on infants.
Nice.
Yeah, because it soaks up extra moisture. Nice. I mean, believe me, I get a lot of shit, you know, because there's everything has powder on it in the bathroom. It's all over the place.
Yes, yes.
You know, and that drives her nuts. It drove the ex nuts, and it'll drive the next chick nuts if there is one.
Your caregiver.
Yeah, my caregiver. Yeah. Put some powder on there. So, yeah, I mean.
Of course, that will be a long time from now.
I hope we last that long where it is a caregiver. Because I'm going to give her the out when it gets to that point. I'm just going to go, you still got some game. You need to get out of here. And I'm pretty sure she'll go, okay. Thank you.
You know, now, last night was the, you probably were in bed. Did you happen to catch Bill Murray and his goodbye to David Letterman?
I missed it. I recorded it, and I want to go back and see it, but apparently he was a little wasted, which isn't a surprise.
Is that good or bad?
In Bill's case, in Bill's case, it's a standard. I don't know if you know this, but I have a lot of interaction with him because we did our yearly golf tournament with him, and his the person that kind of handles him advertising wise and stuff is close to me family wise. So I get a lot of reports about Bill and his status, and it's usually has to do with afternoon cocktails going into the night.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's just the way he rolls.
He had his face between my boobs. You took the pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you remember that relationship remained intact for a while. He had the privilege of being in on the show on a day where there couldn't be more fucked up shit going on. We had a fire-breathing stripper, a 650-pound Bengal tiger.
Nice.
And
Caddyshack.
And Bill Murray in the studio all at once. And he's like, what kind of fucking show is this? he brought it up for years afterwards. And, I have a little bit of Bill Murray knowledge. I know he loves Dave, and it was probably an emotional moment for him last night.
I can say that out of all the celebrities, which, I mean, I haven't met like a shit ton, but through my radio career, Bill Murray has always been my very favorite. He was exactly what I hoped. There was no disappointment there. He was Bill, and it was wonderful.
Damn. excuse me. He is just a pro at taking care of his fans. Like he went all around the radio station and met people and glad hand and screwed with them a little bit and, you know, gave them exactly what they expected. And he's real good. But there's also a side to him that's very curmudgeonly.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I think that honestly kind of happens to all old funny men.
Yeah, probably.
Probably just old men, but it seems like it's more noticeable with funny men, like Dave, unfortunately. He's become quite curmudgeonly. I still love him, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, we've watched it happen before our eyes with Dave.
Yes.
And that's okay, you know. We didn't see it happen with Johnny Carson and Leno and guys like that. But Dave's always wore his heart on the sleeve and was a little less show businessy than most.
Yes, which I think is what part of his popularity, at least 20, 30 years ago, was. He was like the anti-establishment late night guy.
But apparently, there was a very sinister, dark side of Johnny.
Which he kept off the air, but yes, I've seen those stories and stuff where it's like, ooh. Well, what he did to Joan Rivers, you know?
Yeah.
Whether she deserved it or not, all she did was go get another job. And he banned her forever.
Well, apparently it was stated between the two of them that the Tonight Show was hers when he left. And right or wrong, you know, it she had to take her opportunity when it was presented, and there's no guarantee that the network is going to let Johnny call the shots when he leaves.
Right. I mean, it is showbiz. There's nothing guaranteed ever for anything.
So she did what she had to do. Apparently, her husband, Edgar, kind of talked her into that. And that was had a lot to do, all that falling apart and everything, and her show not lasting long, had a lot to do with him committing suicide. Mm. You know, that he felt responsible.
That's too bad.
You know, for, you know, I heard that was a big part of the suicidal thing. I don't have a guaranteed confirmation
of
that.
Which is weird, because Joan said that she and Johnny fucked once. So would that have meant that that was when she was still married? Because, I mean, she was with Edgar forever. He's Melissa's dad, so that would have had to have been prior.
Yeah, it's quite possible. That may have been intertwined in the mix, like Edgar saying, no, you're not hanging out with that motherfucker anymore or whatever.
Right.
It's really weird. It takes a really open mind to negotiate through show business, because that stuff happens.
Right.
It really does. Yeah, it's like when we were talking on the podcast about, you know, Lisa being on Naked and Afraid, you know, and me having to put up with whatever happens. You know, that's just part of it. You have to bury your feelings and let stuff happen, so to speak. You know, and in reverse, too. You know,
What were you going to say?
Go ahead. No, nothing important.
No, I was just going to ask, kind of along those lines, have you ever read the stories? Apparently, there is some documentary that's coming out, too, about kids in Hollywood. And there's been those rumors, just those awful rumors for years, about the Disney and Nickelodeon kids and, like, the number of pedophiles and stuff who purposely seek out, like, to be writers and producers and directors of those kids shows, because they are, like, taking the virginity of all of the little girls, like, before they hit 15.
Nah, I haven't heard anything about that.
Oh, you should look it up. And, yeah, there is some documentary that's going to be coming... premiering at Cannes or something, about kids in Hollywood and how Hollywood is just pretty awful.
Wow.
I couldn't imagine being a showbiz mom. And if that is something you really have to do, I could never, you know, look at Lindsay Lohan. You know, you just have to be with your child all the time and not get caught up in it. You have to be the parent.
Well,
out for them.
On that Millionaire Matchmaker show, I don't know if you've ever seen that on Bravo, but Dina Lohan, Lindsay's mom, was being set up with somebody. Mm. And you could just see the disconnect with her kid. I mean, it's like she didn't even want to talk about it. You know, she a couple times was seen going, you know, I'm not Lindsay. You know, that type of deal. So
you're older and more leathery.
Yeah. She's actually pretty hot. Her mom's pretty smoking.
But well, yeah. I wonder how she paid for that.
But yeah, she is. Hey, listen, you know, whatever she got out of the deal, she deserves. I'm sure there was a lot of having to cater to Lindsay through for 10 or 15 years. You know, while she put her career together. So I'm sure there were some sacrifices there, parentally.
I don't think so. I think that she saw Lindsay as a meal ticket. She, you know, pretty much offered her up probably to the gross, disgusting pedophile people of Hollywood and, you know, rode that wave and was starstruck and felt like she was the star. You know, she was getting that attention and it was all because of her daughter. And that's my impression. I could be wrong. It's just how I look at her.
I think you're pretty wrong about that.
All right. Dina's not a good mom. She's not a caring mom.
You know what, though? She may have been once. her daughter is pretty stubborn and was enabled by the dad to.
I think she was enabled by mom too, though. I mean, I think both of those parents are just like, oh my God, off the charts, crazy.
Well, the Hollywood take on it is that dad was the one who gave her her sense of entitlement. And that's why she's a runaway train now, not showing up for community service and stuff like that. I think it comes more from the dad side from what I can see.
I really thought if there had been a pool, I would have put money. I was convinced she was going to be dead at 27. She was going to be one of those people that die at that age. I'm actually quite shocked she's still alive.
Yeah, I mean, she very well could have been. Who knows? Sometimes chicks like her just survive forever, like cockroaches.
She's the Keith Richards of
yeah.
Mean Girls.
Yeah, but she... I root for Lindsay. You know, I really do. I think she's had a pretty fucked up hand dealt to her as far as her parents go and stuff like that. She probably was manipulated quite a bit as a kid. But I don't know that for sure. Her mom seems like a fairly well-rounded individual that kind of had enough. That's kind of what I got out of the very little snapshot I got of her.
Right.
Like, everything in my life the last 25 years has been Lindsay, Lindsay, Lindsay. This is my chance to, you know, do something for me, so I don't want to talk about it.
I know, but ironically, she wouldn't have the chances that she has now. If it weren't for her daughter, she'd be a housewife in Long Island or wherever they were from.
But the way you could look at it is, had that whole thing not happened, maybe she'd still be happily married. Maybe all the attention and all the scrutiny and everything else is part of what drove her marriage apart. You just don't know. You have no idea.
No. No, but you look at someone like Natalie Portman, and Natalie Portman is my Hollywood like girl crush. I respect the hell out of her. I think she's beautiful. I think that she, you know, look at her. She's never had a scandal, and she was certainly a child actress. In fact, her first role was The Professional. She was a Lolita, and she had every opportunity, I'm sure, to be a Lindsay Lohan and a Britney Spears, and she's managed to graduate from what Harvard, Yale, whatever school she went to, you know. She's got it together. And it's just weird that Hollywood can produce so many different types and careers and stuff.
Yeah. I keep in mind with Natalie Portman, though, you're talking about an extremely... solid parental base, a very intelligent girl, very intelligent parents that still prioritized her education and didn't put all the eggs in the Hollywood basket. It's just her talent outshined and moved her, you know, kept her in the field, but they were completely prepared for her not to be.
Right.
And that's the difference. It's a complete difference.
Yes.
You know, they told her all along, you know, you need to plan for life without Hollywood, not life for it.
Right. No, I agree. You know, and no different than we talked about Emma Watson, you know, with her $50 million that she was going to get on her 18th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her parents made her take finance classes, you know.
Sure.
So that she would have some at least idea of what to do with her fortune. And she's another girl. She grew up in front of everyone with Harry Potter and no scandals there. She's such a smart, well-rounded, good girl who can still look sexy and not slutty. And has an occasional nip slip, and it's fine.
Mm-hmm. But that's slutty.
Well, that was also a photographer, like, shoving a camera in a window of the car as she's leaning forward to, like, fix her shoe or something.
Well, Harry Potter was feeling her up.
There was no Potter in there. Well, it was just a bunch of girls. Just a
wizard stick. Shoving his Dumbledore finner.
A little Michigan tie in there. Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe, is marrying some girl from Flint, Michigan. What are the freaking
odds? Which is what all girls from Michigan are called. Some girl from Michigan. Hey, here's your new news chick. Some girl from Michigan.
You know, I think Kate Upton is a Michigan girl.
Which is why she chased after Verlander, I'm sure.
Her uncle, Fred Upton, was, I don't know if he's still in office. He was some, I don't know, senator, state senator or something, and representative. He was a politician. So there's money and, you know, high class in that family.
She's so hot. But, you know, I would have never guessed she was from Michigan.
Yep. We can claim her.
She seems so British to me.
Really?
Yeah.
She seems so California to me.
Yeah, well, just because of the war games thing she's promoting right now, she just seems like she's from somewhere else, you know. Yeah. Did you see?
She grew up in the Shire.
If you get a chance on YouTube, look up Bill Maher's dialogue on why we use British people for all of our intelligent characters. Like in anything, you know, in any movie, anytime you're wanting to get intellectual across, it's always a British accent, not an American.
Right.
He goes, look at fucking Star Wars. The two robots and, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi are all fucking British, but we're on a planet years away. Yeah. You know? Light years away in another galaxy, they're still fucking British.
Yes, and if they're adventurers, they're Australian.
Yes, but never American. There's just a total disconnect there.
Paul Hogan.
Yeah. That's not a knife.
And his didgeridoo.
Yeah. So it's just a stereotype that we Americans are dumb, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And I am not 100% against that stereotype.
I mean, I try to look at it objectively. They just sound better in evil roles, you know?
Yes. Alan Rickman. Oh, I love him.
Yeah, I mean, come on. He was just awesome in Die Hard.
He was great in Sense and Sensibility, too, which I know you've never seen. Yippee-ki-yay,
motherfucker.
Oh, I went and saw Age of Ultron.
Oh, how was it? Amazing.
Very exciting. Oh, it was so exciting. It was like, yay. And Paul Bettany is the voice of Jarvis. And I have always loved him. He was like the priest in the priest movie. And oh, whatever. That movie, I don't remember the name of it, but it was the little diner. And like the devil was there. And like the ice cream guy had opened his mouth really big. I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, he's in that
too.
You're
so fucked up.
I am. But anyway, yes, he finally gets to be seen. So I was very happy that I got to put my eyeballs upon Paul Bettany.
Well, I like it when you're happy, Stacey. You're not going to be happy that we have to leave.
I know. I'm going to have a tantrum now.
Yeah. Well, we will convene again soon for number 48. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Lex.
For a wonderful podcast.
And well, I feel so much closer to your balls now.
Yeah, well. That's good. You know, get as close as you like. They're not going anywhere.
You hope.
Yeah, I know. Because if they're gone, I'm gone. So we wrap up another threesome podcast. Thank you, Stacey. We will see you next time. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.